Thanks for tuning in to Release City Church Online. We're all about loving God and loving people. If you're ever in our area, we'd love for you to join us for one of our live weekend worship experiences. For more information about service times and events, go to releasecitychurch.org or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Release City Church. We hope that today's message will encourage you and help bring you closer to Jesus. Now, let's check out today's message.
So, I feel like I've already been at a full service this morning with everything that's happened. I feel full, so I'm going to pour it out for you guys, if that's all right. Let's see how this goes. This is for you, Mr. Steve, after what was said this morning. A woman accompanies her husband to the doctor's office for a checkup. Afterwards, the doctor took the wife aside and said, "Unless you do the following things, your husband will surely die of his condition." The good doctor then said, "Here's what you need to do. Every morning, make sure he gets a good, healthy breakfast. Have him come home for lunch each day so you can feed him a well-balanced meal. Make sure you feed him a good hot dinner every night. And don't overburden him with household chores. Also, keep the house spotless and clean so that he does not get exposed to any unnecessary germs. And to improve his circulation, you need to give him a back massage every night." And all the men in the house said, "Amen." On the way home, the husband asked the wife, "What did the doctor say?" And she replies, "He said that you're going to die." And all the ladies in the house said, "Amen." This morning's anchor verse is Proverbs 29:18. And it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." I found in another translation, I really like this. "If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are the most blessed." So this may be a tough way to hear a message begin, because I've got some good news and I've got some bad news for you. The good news is that when you capture the essence of vision and do what it takes to make vision operative in your life, it'll make a world of difference in your life and in the lives of those around you. The alternative to having no vision, as it says in the scripture, is not a very pretty picture. The main point this verse makes is the main point that I want to reiterate throughout this message. If you don't have a clear picture of where you are headed, the likelihood of a successful adventure is improbable. Have you ever heard of the saying, "the blind leading the blind"? It's not a pretty picture, is it? I bet, how was your drive home last night? It's not fun to drive in the absolute flooding rain, because the picture of where you're going isn't clear, is it? I don't like driving in the rain. Anybody ever seen Pirates of the Caribbean? Those movies? Don't judge me. What's Captain Jack Sparrow say every time he just happens to become the captain of a ship? Yes, that too. Where's the rum? But no, that's not where we're going, Kim. He says, "What's our heading?" Thank you. Good job. A lack of clarity in the direction of your life will result in confusion, weariness, and a lack of zeal for life. Zeal is a word that Pastor Dennis used to use, and it means eagerness or a passionate interest in something. Before we can get a grip on our future, I want to discuss two concepts that are distinct, yet they're inseparable. I want to talk about mission, and I want to talk about vision. In Sheila Murray Bethel's book, Sheila begins with the question, "If you thought you could make a difference, would you be willing to try? If you discovered a way you could affect change and inspire and motivate others, would you be willing to make the effort?" She then goes on to identify 12 qualities that make up people who make a difference. And the two top qualities are mission and vision. They are different from one another, but yet they're so intricately intertwined with one another. See, a mission is a broad philosophical statement that talks about what you stand for or what your heart issue is. It defines what it is in the big picture of something that you want to accomplish. Every person individually should have a mission statement for their life. It describes what you want to do for your life or in an organization that you're a part of. I challenge you, if you don't have a mission statement for yourself, go home at any point in time that's convenient for you and write on a piece of paper what your mission is. regardless of where you are in this life, if you're older than me, younger than me, my age, it doesn't matter. If you're still here, God wants to place his vision inside of you so that you can see what your mission is here. A vision statement takes the mission statement and puts feet to it. A vision statement is more specific and strategic. A vision statement provides direction for accomplishing the mission. So I'll put it to you this way. Mission is a broad definition of what you want to do with your life. Vision is a specific mental picture of what you think it'll take to accomplish your mission. So here at Release City, we're not just a church in our city, we're a church for our city. Our mission is simple, and that's to reach anyone that's far from God. But the vision is how we do it. You guys heard Miss Becky this morning. That's how we do it. The Easter extravaganza, that's how we do it. The Christmas parade, giving teddy bears and bicycles to children who may not have some of those things, that's how we do it. Does that make sense? Vision, mission? If you don't have a mission for your life, you will never have a vision that accomplishes anything. All you'll have are empty dreams, disappointments, frustrations, and confusion. If you don't have a vision for your life, you'll never accomplish your mission. You may have some grandiose mission statement, but if you don't have the vision of how to get it done, if you don't have wheels on your vehicle, you're not going to get there. Okay, so we need both. They're both intricately intertwined with one another. So when the Hires family was getting ready to be a party of five, we were still in a single-wide mobile home with two bedrooms. So the mission is to get the HE double hockey sticks out of the single-wide and get into something bigger. But without the vision of how we were going to do it, we wouldn't have gotten there. Bless God, a couple of days after that one was born, we got up out of there. So what is vision? A God-given ability to create a mental picture in order to process the present and proceed to the preferred future. Vision is a picture in your mind's eye of the way things could be or should be in the days ahead. Vision refers to a visual reality, a picture of conditions that do not currently exist. So we have to imagine these things. It's a picture that becomes internalized and personal. It's yours, not someone else's. It's a clear picture you've created through your God-given imagination, not a fuzzy perspective. Like anything good, it can be used for purposes that may not be God-honoring. That doesn't eliminate the legitimacy of using vision the correct way. It is a God-given ability. While I'm right here on this part, have any of you thought to yourself lately, why has God connected me with this ministry? What is my role here? Because if I imagine us getting on one side of the room and interlocking arms together, and we start walking slowly and taking very small steps, we could push every single one of these chairs to that wall. That's a force. But we all have to pull our own weight, and we all have a different function. And if we can do all of those functions together and in unison, some of us are the hands, some of us are the feet, some of us are the shoulders, some of us are the knees and the hips, and we can be a force together. So what is your function? What is your niche to advance God's kingdom? Cole and Bradley were all over my message this morning. I was like, well, what's the point? Napoleon said, imagination rules the world. Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge. Every great event that has ever happened began because somebody started dreaming. They had a vision. Great things come from small beginnings when God is in them. See, vision is not new age, it's old age. It's been here since the beginning of humanity. Take a look at the predicament of this individual in the Bible and tell me what made him hang in there. What made him stay? What made him endure? 2 Corinthians 11:24-27 says, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled, and I have gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. It's not a good situation, but what made him stay? See, for those of you who may not know, this is the story of Apostle Paul. This isn't the story of a man who had nothing better to do with his life. It's not a tale of a man who had no other options, because Paul had plenty of options. He was articulate, he was a shaker, he was a mover, he was extremely intelligent. He used his creativity and imagination to accomplish the vision that God had given him. Your ability to dream, to imagine, to be creative is a God-given gift. We just don't exercise it like we used to. When I was a little kid, me and Chase Gregory and Matt Williams and all of my buddies, we'd get together at the house, and after my mom went to bed, we'd break all the extra sheets and comforters that we had out and get all the everything heavy, get televisions and get stereos back when we had those, and we would build this massive mansion in the living room. Anybody ever done that before when you were little? My mom would get up and go to work in the morning, and she'd wake me up. She'd be like, "You're going to have to move some of this stuff, because I'm going to step on one of y'all." Because that thing would be, it would be the whole living room. See, God gives us creativity, and he gives us imagination to use for good. And vision is something that is extremely good, but it's not only good, it's necessary. It is essential for us to do with our life what God wants us to do with it. Our ability to have vision and move towards the preferred future means that we must process the present. Where are we now? Proverbs 21:5 said, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste will lead you to poverty." Processing the present can lead us to proceed to the preferred future. See, this thing called vision isn't easy for us, because we're built and we're wired and we're so prone to fall into what we see and what is the norm, and to fall into the culture of where we are, and we forget about our vision. But isn't that what the Bible says faith is? Is believing in what we do not see? We can't let ourselves fall into the culture and into the things around us and what people say about us. We got to push forward and push through into what God says, "This is my vision for you. This is where I want you to be. This is the career field I want you to be in." And it takes patience and it takes perseverance. And I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'm going to hush. Vision deals with something that is preferred, which means there needs to be change if we aren't where we want to be. Vision never deals with maintaining the status quo. It's about stretching and improving. See, I know this ministry is all about stretching and improving. I've told Bradley and I've told Dennis, this is where God has called the Hires family to be, and we're not going anywhere, and we're going to be with you until the end. I'm not leaving. God hasn't called me anywhere else. If he does, then I'll deal with it then. But right now, this is where I'm supposed to be, right here, doing as much as I can to push his kingdom forward so that we can reach people out there. And can I be very clear with you on this point? God never intended us to live accidentally or unintentionally. You are where you are for a reason. Your career field is where you've been called for a reason. Live intentionally, full of purpose, and with vision, and he'll bless you. See, there's a person here, and I'm going to be very careful not to give, I don't want y'all looking around, that has bought into the vision here. She is one of the top contributors to the building fund, because she believes in the people that lead this ministry, and she believes in God's vision for this ministry and where he wants this ministry to go. And I'm telling you right now that it's already happening. If we have a God-given ability to create a clear mental picture in order to process the present, we can then proceed into the preferred future. Do you want to have vision for your life? Do you? Do you? Okay. Then there are some elements that we need to obtain, nurture, and develop. Holy smokes, Bradley, I got 7 minutes. Number one is passion. What is it that you really care about? What is it that's really important to you? What do you lay awake at night in your bed and think about? What presses on your heart during the day while you're doing other things? What is it that God's trying to tell you in your quiet time, in your prayer time? This is what I want to do with you and your life. What is he saying? What is he trying to tell you? For some people, they have no need for a vision because they don't really have a passion for anything larger than themselves. See, we can't be selfish if we want to obtain our vision. Make no small plans, for they have no power to move your soul. I talked about the Apostle Paul earlier, and he was a man with vision. He was also a man with passion for his vision, demonstrated by what he was willing to do for his vision. I have to believe that he probably pulled on what I pull on when I hit difficult times, and that's pull on characters from the Bible and what they endured and what they went through. Acts 13:22 says, "After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man of my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.'" See, David became the second king of Israel and was described as a man after God's own heart. I want to be described as a man after God's own heart. Like Bradley said earlier, he stole my message. We're going to take detours. We're not going to get there perfectly every time. There was things with our house when I built it that I wish I would have done differently. Okay? I'm going to get into some of that in just a second. See, God instilled in David a clear sense of the future, and like all human beings, David made some mistakes. But one of his redeeming qualities was that he kept his burning desire, his passion, to remain true to the future that God had in store for him. Now, you can have passion for the things God never put in your heart. You can have passion for money, and your vision will reflect that. You can have passion for success, passion for power, passion for pleasure. And you may set some fantastic plans and goals for yourself and have a tremendous vision, but if God isn't at the center of it, you're going to be left empty. You cannot do what God has for you in His vision without Him at the center. It's not going to happen. I got an example for you. Why do these extremely rich celebrities and rock stars, why do they commit suicide? Why do they OD on antidepressants? If you don't have God at the center, I don't care how much money you got in your pocket. It ain't going to matter. Number two is perception. For those of you taking notes, passion, perception. Only when you have an accurate view of God, who He is, and how much He loves us, will we be able to understand and trust the insights that He gives us. Are the insights that we have coming from ourselves only, or are they inspired by God? Because He loves us, He cares for us, and He wants the best for us. It says in the Bible that He works all things, for the good of those who love Him and those who are called according to His purpose. So if you're in His vision, you're called according to His purpose. And He's going to work everything out for the good. I don't care what it looks like on the outside. He's working it out for your good. Because all we see is right now, He sees way down the road. And sees where you're going to be at the end. And I got good news for you. We win. And having an... Hold on, I lost my spot. Having an accurate view of God comes when we grow in our understanding of who He is. That doesn't happen in a vacuum. It comes through His Word, through reading the Bible. It comes through worship. It comes through spending time with each other that are in this house. Because people will drain you. I'm going to get into some of that in just a second too. It is necessary to understand that in developing vision, we must know our own abilities, gifts, and limitations. We have to know our own values and desires before we can arrive at an accurate perspective on our own life vision. See, vision is not about exercising and promoting ourselves, our dreams, or our needs. It's about integrating our personal abilities and limitations through God's direction to accomplish what He wants to get done. See, Paul knew that. Paul knew it didn't matter what he went through as long as he accomplished his vision for his life. It didn't matter that he was naked. It didn't matter that he was hungry. He was in danger in all these different places. It didn't matter. Number three is perseverance. Nothing ever great that was accomplished was done so in a single moment's time. We are the architect of our tomorrow. We cannot let things that stop ordinary people stop us. Money, the White House, the manufacturing, we can't allow those things to stop us. Y'all know the first airplane was built in a bicycle factory? The Wright brothers built the first airplane in a bicycle factory. We cannot allow things to stop us. See, they discovered the law of aerodynamics. I'm trying to be short. I'm trying to cut some of this down if y'all are wondering what I'm doing. See, anytime we start trying to build something, whether it's build a marriage, whether it's train a child up in the way that they should go, or we're trying to build a career, see, there's this gravitational pull that says, uh-uh, you don't belong up there, and it's pulling you, and it's pulling you. But if you keep pushing against what's pulling you back, you're going to break through. Bradley said that earlier. The devil knows that right on the verge of our breakthrough is when we encounter the biggest opposition at that moment. And if we'll just continue to push, we'll push through that wall. See, God wants us to be excited about our destiny so that we can endure. This is deep right here. This is one of my favorite parts of this message. God wants us to be excited about our destiny so that we can endure the process that brings us into promise. Because there is a process before promise. Y'all catch that? If you don't have at least a vision of the promise, the process will discourage you. Think about Joseph. Enslavement. Imprisoned. But he had a vision because God gave him the vision. He had the promise, so he was able to endure the process. See, some of you are going through the process right now, and you need to think about the promise to get you through the process. See, every time discouragement is trying to get you to give up on the process, remember the vision you have of the promise and keep pressing. See, I had a vision of our home, and I didn't anticipate it taking almost 3 years to get it done. But I kept thinking about what it was going to look like at the end. A couple of times I just broke down in tears out there because I was so frustrated because things don't go together like you think they should. Or not as easy as they should have. But you keep your mind focused on the promise so you can endure the process. I'm going to skip over just a little bit and go to some other stuff. Number four is be fruitful. That was the very first command to Adam, not me, the other Adam. Be fruitful. You can only be fruitful if you are seedful. Did you catch that? You can only be fruitful if you're seedful. You can't produce fruit without seed. It's got to start at the seed first. See, some of us in here have dormant seeds on the inside of us that if we put ourselves in the right atmosphere, because see, seeds will lay dormant for years, but when they're put in the right atmosphere, boom, here it comes. Where we built our house at, it used to be a Bermuda grass hayfield. It's been a tree nursery since I was like 6 years old. When we cleared all those trees out and started building our house, the prettiest patch of Bermuda grass I've ever seen came up in our yard. It was amazing. When we expose ourselves to the right atmosphere, things inside of us will then begin to sprout that we didn't even know were there. Some of us in here are we're so busy trying to fill other people's dreams. Think about what happened to Elijah. He was fulfilling his parents' vision. He was plowing in the field. That boy wasn't no farmer. Just because you can run a plow doesn't mean that's what you're supposed to do. Just because we're good at what we do doesn't mean that's where God wants us to be. Okay? Some of us get stuck in what people expect, like Elijah, and we never find out who we are because we're living someone else's vision. We never find out. I'll skip over that. So there he is plowing in the field, doing what his daddy wanted him to do and what he asked of him. He was plowing around and around in circles until Elijah passed by him, and then he put down something lesser and he picked up something greater. Number five is be authentic to your core. You're at your best when you're authentic to your core. The way people describe you can become a prison if you let it. If you listen to what people are saying about you, it'll become a prison for you. You can't listen to not everybody's going to like you. See, Jesus wasn't caught up in trying to make everybody like him. You got to be who you're supposed to be. And he'll put the right people in there for you. Don't worry about the ones that don't like you. Sometimes people call you a name and you start living up to the name and it limits you from what else God wants to do in your life. Remember to be authentic. Number six is have a great work ethic. I need 5 minutes. See, Dennis Weber had a great work ethic for those of you that had the honor of knowing him. He would work some of these new generation kids under the table. I coached baseball with that guy and played football for him. Whew. He had a great work ethic that would blow your mind. So be hardworking. Get up and go every day. Manage your time well. go after things, be a go-getter, grind, be a grinder, don't be lazy. Think about lazy like a disease, because it is. Working hard will gain you favor. And this is probably a line I should take out. See, I told y'all I needed to take this line out. See, me and my sergeant, we have a joke at work. The sheriff never calls him. He calls me. The undersheriff never calls my sergeant. He calls me. The colonel never calls my sergeant. He calls me. Lieutenant Anderson never calls my sergeant. He calls me. I'm under my sergeant, okay, for those of you that don't know. I would like to think that's because they trust me. They trust me to handle things promptly, and they trust me to handle things the right way. I hope I'm right. Come on now. I had this to prepare for. It was important. Number 7 is balance work with play. This is one of my major faults in building our house, and it took a toll on me. See, you can't do all of either one and be successful. There has to be a balance. So to those who much is given, much is required. If you work really hard and you're really diligent in what you do, make sure that you combine some play in that work ethic. And then on the flip side, if you really play hard, you might be a fun person, but you're going to be hungry. It's the truth. It's the truth. Also, everything don't always have to be serious. We got enough pressure on us to become what we're supposed to become and do what we need to do that everything doesn't always have to be serious. So balance some work and some play and some good times like the couples night. I encourage you, if you've never been to a couples night with this group of people, you need to experience that one time. Number 8, one of my favorites, is make your relationships count. Keep your circle tight, because everything's about relationships. Enjoy your relationship with yourself, because if you don't like you, I'm going to have a hard time liking you. You see what I'm saying? You have to like yourself. I mean, you know people, when you walk into their atmosphere and they're full of drama, what happens? They drag you right down in it, because that's how some people are. Anybody know anybody like that? There's some people at the sheriff's office. I see them gone out of there, because I'm not going to be exposed to that kind of stuff, because it'll take a toll on you. Get caught up in their cyclone of drama, and next thing you know, you're down there at the bottom with them. So enjoy your relationship with yourself. And then anybody that comes in, you already got the party started, so you just build them right up to where they need to be. The relationship with your kids, your friends, your spouse, make them count. Make them count. Take time to enjoy them, because we've learned from nature there's no fruit without relationships. Anybody in here have a kid by yourself? You cannot be fruitful without a relationship. In business, in your home, in your life, in your church, I don't care what it is, you are no more than the relationships you surround yourself with. So be careful and choose the right ones. Number 9 is just start. I'm almost done. I got 9 and 10. I'm done. Start from the ground up. Start with what you have. God will create opportunities and connect you with the people that you need. The right people. See, it doesn't matter where you start. It only matters where you finish. Sheriff McCallum hasn't always been the sheriff. He's very similar to me. He started in dispatch. I started in dispatch. I moved to patrol and now to patrol supervision. When me and my wife got together, unemployed, Taco Bell, Mitch's, school health nurse, jobless again during RN school, now an RN, and a sugar mama. I'm retiring soon, Sheriff. It's coming. And y'all know me. I'm not up here to boast, okay? I use my life experiences to try to help you guys and to help myself. This is for me too, because I'm telling you, I about blew that balanced life with play, work with play. Because when I was building that house, man, I hit some rough spots. God's no respecter of persons. Anything that you see him doing for any of his children, he'll do it for you too. I tell myself that all the time. When I got somebody in the back of my patrol car and we're going to the jail, he loves them the same way he loves me. I'm no different. Okay? Don't treat anybody different. He loves them all the same. Number 10 is pull out the weeds. Look at yourself in the mirror and examine yourself through true eyes, because that could be holding you back from your vision. Pull things out of your heart that are holding you back. Push things out of the way that you don't want there, that don't need to be there, that are holding you back. See, when you see something growing up in you and you don't want it, you got to do the opposite. Okay? Don't be jealous, because jealousy enslaves the landlord. You can't curse the light in your neighbor's window and expect the light in your house to keep burning brightly. You can't do that. See, we all have the propensity to be evil, to be jealous, to be angry, to be deceitful. So let's not act like there's good people and there's bad people. There's just people, okay? Because we all got the propensity. We're all wired that way. See, when you see those weeds growing up in your garden, you got to pull them out. I'm done. So why did I preach this message today? Because I care about you guys as individuals. Because I love this ministry and the direction that it's going. And I believe that everything that we need to go where God wants us to go is right here. I feel like if we'll focus on where He wants us to be as individuals, then He's going to show us as individuals why we're here, so that we can connect arms together and go where we need to go, where He wants us to go. Because I'm here to tell you, I was on the radio with Dispatch Sunday because I was fighting a lady who had cut herself to pieces in Bronson. She didn't want to live anymore. There is people out there that are hurting, that are broken, that need Him. And I got news for you. Each and every one of you that are here today, carry Him with you when you go out there. And if you'll just ask yourself during the week who you're supposed to make an impact on, He'll show you somebody. Because before I got her where she needed to go, she had opened up to me and told me why she was hurting and why she was broken, why she was cutting herself. And I had an opportunity to witness with her. I just fought this lady. Like, we were in a fight. She jumped on the bed and she's like, "I'm not going." I'm like, "Yeah, you're going. I can't leave you like this." So when I went to put her in handcuffs, she grabbed my radio mic and she was pulling down on it. And I keyed up the radio and I said, "Dispatch, I'm fighting this lady." They ain't hear me. But I got news for you. It doesn't matter where you are or how dark the darkness gets. Luckily, I had another deputy there, so everything was fine. But He'll never leave you alone. He's got you under His wing. So while you're going through this thing and you're trying to find out what your vision is, don't be afraid when the storms come, when the waves get high, because He's got you. As long as we're in His will and you're under the cleft of that rock, nothing can happen to you. I hope this is worth your time. I went 12 minutes over. I love you guys.
Thanks again for listening today. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, consider giving a financial gift to help us bring the hope of Jesus to more people. You can give online at releasecitychurch.org/give. Remember, you matter, we care, and Jesus loves you. Have a great day.